You're listening to The Local Maximum, episode 53.
The predictive index was actually started back in the 1950s, and now I can offer the behavioral assessment which you took.
Tell us what you found.
So, looking at the results.
Time to expand your perspective. Welcome to The Local Maximum. Now, here's your host, Max Sklar.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to The Local Maximum. I know I'm in transition here, the show is in transition, but hey, I am continuing to bring you one show every week consistently here on The Local Maximum. And this one is really, really different. We're going to find out the results of my personality assessment that my guest so kindly administered. But before we get into that, I just want to say after the interview, I'll tell you about my next couple of shows I have lined up, so don't miss that. And I'm also going to tell you my assessment of my assessment. That means my thoughts on how I was rated. No, that's not right. Not how I was rated. Basically, it was what my working styles are and what you can expect from me. How I can react to different projects and different events in the workplace. And that's kind of what I got. And so it was hard to react. You'll get my reaction on the spot, but you're also going to get my thoughts on what was accurate after a few days at the end. So here's the reason why this show is different. You're probably used to hearing me being a lot more confident and in control, like in control of the show's content. And sure, I outline this thing. It's my show. It's my guest. But we're discussing here some very sensitive topics. We're discussing our working styles, our personal habits, which in some cases may be looked down upon by certain groups. So you're going to hear a lot of nervous laughter here, just like that. I think you're going to hear a lot of that, a lot of repeated words. It's, man, and it's right after my big blowout going away party at Foursquare with Chris. So this timing thing, it's really crazy timing. So it's really fascinating to listen to this one. But as a couple of focus questions, because as you know, we might be all over the place, but as a couple of focus questions, you'll be getting intel on the working styles for me and my now twice former coworker, Mariam, and Local Maximum guest, at least those put forth by the assessment. So a couple things to think about as you listen to this. Number one, do you share these traits or do you have different traits? And number two, is this what you expected or not what you expected, given you're listening to past episodes of The Local Maximum? If you want to hear the one with Mariam, that's episode 45. But if you want to hear one with me, that's basically all of them. So I'd like to hear your thoughts, localmaxradio@gmail.com or through the website. I think I've gotten to all of your emails this past weekend, and I'll give you some more of my thoughts after the show. By the way, if I didn't get to one of your emails, please email me again because it must have fallen through the cracks. All right. My guest today is Swathi Doshi. She is the founder and managing director of Human Results, an HR consulting firm. Formerly, Swathi spent 8 years at Google. Well, there's Google again, episode 45, folks, but this is not all about Google. She worked in the people operations division there, and she did a lot of stuff before that. She has many years of experience working to optimize talent. You can read all about it on the show notes page at localmaxradio.com/53. All about Swathi on the show notes page, localmaxradio.com/53. Let's bring her up. Swathi, welcome to the show. Welcome to The Local Maximum.
Thanks for having me here.
And hey, Mariam.
Hi. Thanks. Hello again.
Yeah, thanks for coming, joining today. I should do this more often. I should just invite people at Foursquare. Well, that's not going to happen anymore. but I should invite coworkers to come down and join the show. I don't know. I think it's because I got the extra microphones. That might help. It's good that we both made it today because I had my going away drink. So we're recording this today. I know that by the time this goes out, it's going to be next week and I will have started at Luminary Media. We're recording this today on Friday, February 1st. It's my last day at Foursquare. The Foursquare people took me out for going away drink. Well, I kind of took them out for going away drinks last night because I sent out the email and prepared it all, me and Chris Conception, and who is episode, shoot, I forgot what his episode is, an NLP, I think it's 23. I think I'm going to go with episode 23. And
also his last day at Foursquare.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, that's... Miriam, you're going to have to field all the NLP questions, even though you just got back here.
You're the only one who's working on it. Thanks for both leaving and making me the NLP expert, despite having zero, like, despite having zero academic experience in NLP. But I learned everything that I need to know from y'all, probably.
Yeah. And we won't be too far. But, yeah, so what? We were out to, like, 1 in the morning, so I'm really happy that we both made it. Yeah. And it's really freaking cold out there, if you haven't noticed. Okay. So let's get back to our guest. We're going to get into the personality test that you gave me and Miriam. I'm really excited to hear the response. I have no idea what it's going to say. I didn't even look into, like, you know, the possible things it could say or what it's for. So I'm just going to be totally surprised. But first, tell me, how did you guys meet each other?
Yeah, so Miriam and I actually met because we were both speaking on a panel about imposter syndrome at Pursuit, which is a nonprofit helping those that are underrepresented get into learn technology and coding skills.
Okay, and so what is imposter syndrome?
So imposter syndrome is something that all high achievers, people who have achieved success at one level or another, feel like they're being a fake or a phony and they're going to be outed and discovered. And what tends to happen is people will either over-prepare or procrastinate. And I definitely procrastinated a bit for today.
I think it's so hard because when you hear, you know, when you're in a field like machine learning, or software in general, you're always hearing about all these frameworks that people are using, and people go at a million words a minute talking about it, all these different algorithms that people are using. Oh, haven't you heard about, like I was talking about reinforcement learning yesterday, and I spoke about it a little bit on the program, but I've never done that before. I think it's very common in software, just because there are so many things to know, and you always have the new kids on the block with whatever the new hot technology is, and you're like, oh crap, I didn't learn that. All right, anything else about the panel? I want you to tell me a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Max. You had asked what Human Results is. We're an HR consulting and coaching firm that brings talent optimization to life in organizations to bridge the people strategy to a company's business strategy.
Let's talk about what that means for people, because we talk a lot on the program about, we do machine learning and data science topics. I kind of have some interesting guests who have some things to say about those topics. Occasionally, we get into management and things like that. And I want to tell people, hey, this is important in, like, you know, being successful in your career. If you like these ideas that we're discussing on the program and you want them to actually go out in the world, then you actually have to learn how to interact with people and make it all happen. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we're going to get a little insight into a strategy and how that could work today, particularly how people relate to each other, because that's a problem that a lot of companies have. They throw people together, they mix up teams, and it's good to mix up teams, but sometimes there's the assumption that, you know, you can have this person work with that person and they're just going to be fine as working with anyone else, and the chemistry might not be there.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what these assessments are about, right? It helps an organization and individuals better understand themselves, how they're naturally wired, and then we can look at what an organization's trying to achieve and put together teams based on data and objective data, not just what we think and who we think will get along and be able to achieve an objective.
Do you think that it's tough to say, like, when you're hiring someone, you kind of want to work with someone who is a right fit for you. And it's sort of that whole culture fit thing is always a very tough,
tough thing to have.
But you don't want to hire someone, or you don't want to work with someone who you know is not going to work with the team or work well with you. What do you think is the, what's your kind of approach to that? I also think, you know, half of it is how the teams are arranged within the company, like Foursquare, things like that, are often just none of this is considered at all, which is a little bit, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is considered. I don't know. but it doesn't seem
I think they put thought into how the teams are arranged.
Yeah. No, but who's working with who? It's, well, we're certainly not taking personality tests. I don't know. I feel like there's always so much stuff to do, and it's like we have to execute on our roadmap. That team mix is not thought through. And sometimes it ends up working very well, and sometimes it ends up working not as well.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, the first step in hiring people, right, people are going to, you know, we look at their resume, right? And that's kind of like the briefcase part of it. And people are going to show up and tell you what you want to hear if they really want the job based on their values and interests. But how do you get behind the true wiring of someone? And that's where assessments like cognitive assessments and behavioral assessments, which is what you took, shows us, you know, the objective data and helps us get rid of that unconscious bias that naturally exists. And so we don't hire people purely because we like them and get along with them.
Right. Do you think that if you hired someone just because you kind of got along with them in an interview, that's sort of, that could be misleading? Have you seen that? Or do you think it generally lines up with how the, you know, how the assessment, you know, does?
Studies have shown that if we interview people without, like, strict assessments, we're going to like people who remind us of ourselves.
Yeah.
And so if you're in an organization, like many software companies where a lot of the people are male, you're going to end up having more, you're going to end up hiring more men because men see themselves in other men, for example. And, there are many ways that biases creep in besides that. Like, you might like someone just because they went to the same university as you. Or not just because, but it's going to make you like them more.
Sure.
Yeah. And or you might think that, okay, this is somebody I can go out and grab a beer with.
Yeah.
Right.
And
that's how people pick politicians.
Unfortunately.
It's always been true.
Yeah.
There was one other point that I wanted to make here, which was, I lost my train of thought on that, go ahead.
The other point that I wanted to make was that, you know, there's been a lot of data that shows diversity in teams is what leads to innovation.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to get rid of that unconscious bias and ensure that we're looking at objective measures. And we want to look at their experience, what they've done in the past. Are they actually qualified? But then we don't want to hire someone purely because we could see ourselves getting a drink with them and being friendly in the workplace. We want people that have different backgrounds and might have different wiring compared to us.
So diversity is always it's sometimes a controversial buzzword, and sometimes you have, proposals made in the name of diversity that might not be very effective. I feel like there's a group of people who are worried that, like, diversity means that you're going to hire people who are not very good at the job to achieve some, you know, some mix that doesn't really matter as much. But what do you see as the objective of a diverse team? Like, when a team is working, when it's diverse, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, for me, it means diversity is diversity of thinking styles and behavioral styles, right? Because you want that broad spectrum of how people are going to tackle and approach a problem. Unfortunately, so many people today think of diversity in terms of gender, race, sometimes, like, does somebody have a degree or not, and those type of factors, when what's more important is, you know, you want somebody who could be very flexible, but you also want somebody on the team who's going to be like, wait, these are the guidelines, this is the structure that we need to follow, right?
Right, right. So, in other words, I don't want to work with someone who has exactly the same work style as myself, because then we're always going to want to work on the same project.
Yeah.
And then we're not going to want to specialize tasks.
And that's how groupthink occurs, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes. True. You do need someone to kind of say, hey, maybe there's another way to do this occasionally. Okay. So, very cool. Before I get into the results, I want to hear more about the test we took. Let me grab this pen to take notes. This is the new Foursquare pen. Have you seen this, Miriam?
I just saw them just now, and they're so beautiful.
Came out today. I'm going to have to take some of these on my way out today.
I think this in as your going away present.
Holy crap, and it works so well. These pens in the past, they didn't actually write. Like, you had to push them down a few times before they write.
They had
this very smooth ballpoint pen. I love it. All right. So I want to hear more about this test we took.
Okay.
Like, so who developed this test? And you got into a little bit about what it's supposed to measure, but both of those things.
Yeah, yeah. So Human Results recently became a certified partner of the Predictive Index.
So Human Results.
That's that's my company.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Predictive Index is a company based out of Boston that was actually started back in the 1950s by a gentleman named Arnold Daniels. And he served in World War II and was really curious about bombardiers and what made a good bombardier who was going to follow orders at the exact time versus somebody who wasn't. And from there, this behavioral assessment was created. And now I can offer several workforce analytic tools such as the behavioral assessment which you took, a cognitive assessment, and there's also a job assessment to help bring those objective measures into hiring.
So this is a behavioral assessment, and is this the one that was created many years ago, or is this kind of an updated one?
Yeah, no, it was created many years ago, and the company's invested and fueled millions of dollars into putting technology behind it, changing the words, getting third-party assessments, and continuing the validation and reliability studies.
So how has this been like validated and studied in the past, and you know, in terms of accuracy or helpfulness, in terms of you know what it can do for an organization or just to help people understand themselves?
Yeah, so there's been over 500 studies that have been done where they've partnered with companies and looked at specific roles to ensure that the behavioral assessment measures what it's supposed to measure, which is how somebody's going to show up in the workplace and what behaviors we would expect in a role. For example, we might want a sales executive to be able to go out there and, you know, knock on doors, open doors, and be a little bit flexible when they're, you know, sharing how a company's product or service could help clients meet their needs. And engineers, tell me a little bit more about what do you think a typical engineer should show up like in the workplace in terms of behaviors?
Well, I wouldn't say that there's a specific answer, but I was out. You may have heard, Miriam and we're out with all our engineer friends last night to one in the morning getting what fried chicken was that? What was that place?
Yeah, Blue Ribbon Fried Chicken.
And I listened to them talk, and first of all, I'm really happy to work with that group of people because it was like sometimes I feel like I work at the I'm like in the NBA of engineers, and they all have totally interesting things to say about lots of different topics, sort of the stuff that we do in this podcast. But it's totally the opposite of what the stereotype is sometimes. I think sometimes the stereotype of an engineer is someone who is like not aggressive, but maybe like kind of off-putting and always putting someone down and always giving like these roundabout jargony responses to like get people off their back. And so, I do feel like there's a popular conception as an engineer as kind of someone who's annoying to work with. And I was like listening to everyone last night, and I was like, I love these people. They're talking about movies. They're talking about I don't know what was going on, but it was just more interesting stuff than that. But it was just these are just really interesting people who can relate to people.
Yeah, well, that's a terrible
and are very good problem solving.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a terrible stereotype. That's definitely not what I've experienced of the engineers I've worked with.
Yeah, you know what? It's like it's like Jimmy Fallon's guy in Saturday Night Live. I know you saw his IT guy. That's sort of what I think of as. I know I know some people who might fit that stereotype.
but if we think about an engineer,
grumpy, yeah.
Let's think about an engineer at a large established company, like IBM, working on a product that's existed forever, or let's say, what are some of the behaviors you would expect them to have in a workplace compared to an engineer that's going to Luminary, which is a growing startup?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. I like an environment that's more fast-paced. Mm-hmm. I like to think that I'm getting something done. You know, one of the most annoying parts of my day is like waiting for the train and waiting for the elevator. I just feel like I feel like I got to keep going. And it doesn't mean I don't like downtime. I rest a lot and I got a lot of downtime, but I always feel like, and it's a problem sometimes because I feel like that's what addicts me to my phone because I need to keep having something else to read. I guess I want to feel like I'm pushing things out a lot, and I don't like a lot of bureaucracy, and I don't really know exactly what it's like to work at Google. I spoke to Miriam about that for 90 minutes, and it's probably not exactly what I'm thinking. I've been to a lot of these offices. They look like wonderful offices. They look like wonderful places to be in terms of your environment. But I don't know. I could just, I walk into Luminary, I could just feel the energy, and so that's why I have kind of a good feeling about it.
Yeah. And somebody at IBM, they're probably not shipping product as often, and they probably have to follow a lot more stabilized rules and procedures and policies, right?
Sure. Yeah. Well, someone at Luminary who used to work at IBM. Maybe I'll talk to that person.
It would be interesting to see and compare your behavioral assessment to them and what the changes are. But we can dive into your results.
Okay.
Soon.
Well, okay. But first I want to talk about, I want to ask another question about the test.
Sure. Assessment.
So assessment. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm just very, I'm calling it a test. I sat down and take a test. Okay. No, I'm a good test taker.
It definitely doesn't feel like a test.
No. It's not like it. Yeah. Okay. So I just want people to get an idea of what it was like to take this thing. Because it was only, 5 minutes? And I was really surprised at how quick it was. And it was essentially, 2 pages?
Yeah.
And each page had a list of words with a checkbox, and they were words like, are you analytical, patient, engaging, neat? I definitely didn't check that one. but it was one of them was just, how do you think others perceive you, and how do you perceive yourself?
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting way to think about it, because there's kind of a diff in there where there is certain things that other people perceive me that way, and I am that way, versus, when you only have one, I feel like those are the interesting ones, where people don't perceive me a certain way, but I think I'm that way, and then people perceive me as a certain way, but they're wrong, a type of thing. So neat, I wouldn't click messy either, but I just don't think I have either of those traits. I do like neat workspaces, but I just never build them myself. So I don't have... I didn't put off reasonable because that was an interesting word too, because it was like, if someone says, come on, be reasonable, you're not going to say, no, I'm not reasonable. But it's like, I just wouldn't describe myself that way. I feel like it kind of cuts off the sort of... dream big dreams aspect to what certain people want to do, entrepreneurs want to do.
Yeah.
Analytical, I did put. I think I am analytical, as much as I talk about Bayes' rule and stuff on this program. So that was that, and that was one where that matched up. I thought people would put me in that group anyway. But overall, I'm not entirely sure which one I checked, and I'm not entirely sure if I took it again if I would check the same ones. I was wondering how you felt about that. Do you think that is this test constant as you take it? Because I do have, when I take the Myers-Briggs tests, those are sometimes change a little bit as I take them different times.
Well, and the difference between a test like this and Myers-Briggs is Myers-Briggs is like a forced choice, right?
Yeah.
You're usually given 2 different situations and you have to pick yes or no or to what extreme, where this is like pure opt-in. And what the studies have shown is, and we measure 3 things. We measure yourself or your natural DNA or wiring, your self-concept, how you think you need to adapt or show up based on what people think of you. And the studies have shown is that the self, the natural wiring, doesn't really change, but the self-concept does change. And that's all because your context is going to change. How you are here at Foursquare after working here for 7 years?
Yeah.
Compared to being brand new and starting at Luminary, it would be interesting, if we had you retake this assessment 3 months into being at Luminary and seeing how your self-concept changes.
Yeah, that reminds me of so when I was in grad school, I took a course called Leadership in Organizations, and there was one thing where it was like the best self thing, where you had to email 10 people, and they had to write good things about you. And you, so people who you worked with. Yeah. And it was like therapy for me because I had just gotten off two jobs that, you know, didn't go as well. Mm. And I remember he said, like, you'll find some surprising things, the things that you're good at, and they really don't change. If you go back to them 10 years from now, you'll find that they really haven't changed very much. And so I actually should go back to that, but I from what I remember, that's probably true. I could probably see in the stuff that was written then, you know, the a line from that to what I do now. So that is kind of an interesting thing to keep in mind. Miriam, how did you feel taking the test? Do you have any thoughts on it?
It was a lot faster than I expected it to be. And, I've actually seen my results.
Yeah.
And it was scary accurate, given that it was like 5 minutes time, like closely it matched who I am.
I'm worried it's mine's not going to be accurate because I feel like I was really tired when I took it. I don't know.
Let's see.
All right, let's see. Let's tell us what you found.
Okay, so looking at the results, the data would suggest that you are somebody that's extremely flexible. You are tolerant of uncertainty, which is why our podcast today wasn't scripted and we didn't really have much of an agenda. We were like,
yeah.
Read me the results. It'll be a surprise, yeah. And let's see.
I do have an agenda sometimes, but it's usually just because some guests I need to be very methodical in terms of how much, in terms of getting all the information out. But one of the things that when I spoke to Rob Bernstein, who's a podcaster, he's the only actual podcaster I had on the show for a while until I had Charlie Oliver. But I started to like give him notes, and he's like, no. Just let the magic happen. And I was like, oh my God, he's right.
Yeah. And what this data shows is that your behavior of being very flexible and informal probably comes from that need of wanting that freedom of expression, which probably ties into why you do podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
did this while you were in college too, right?
Right. I had a radio show in college, and it really was the best part of my week because I can say I always felt like I was cut out of conversations that were going on at like the lunch table and things like that. Mm. And I was never able to get my ideas out. And so I had that outlet, and it was amazing, particularly at Yale when everybody's trying to, you know, yap away and control the conversation. So
okay.
I got that. And the freedom that was allowed by radio was really, really, was really great.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that the data shows is that you are somebody who's comfortable with risk and you're quick to connect.
That's true.
And you're extremely sociable, meaning that you like to do work and solve problems with and through other people. And that probably comes from that need of wanting social acceptance and having that opportunity to influence and interact with folks.
Interesting. I think that's probably right.
Okay. Well, the data also showed that you're somebody who's independent. Like, you're moderately assertive, you're self-confident, and those behaviors then lead to the needs of being able to control your own activities. I feel like there was a podcast that you were on where you were saying how you actually, an earlier podcast that you did with Camille Fournier, right?
Right, right.
And you were talking about how you love podcasting because there's no rules or obligations that you have to follow, and you don't have to worry about getting into trouble, whereas with interviewing, you have policies that you need to follow.
Sure. I mean, there are problems. There are things I can get that could get me in trouble that I could say, but probably I don't think there's been anything that I wanted to say where I was like, oh, that would really get me in trouble. Other than I am worried about something. Oh, someone might see that and they're not gonna like me anymore. But I think that was an interesting one. We can keep going. I do want to ask about why. So I usually don't get along with. I've had like maybe 18 engineering managers in my career, and I've had a good relationship with some of them, mm-hmm. but most, like I would say the majority, not so much. And so I don't know if this sheds light into why.
Yeah.
And maybe it could help me if I do end up you know, managing a team at Luminary, I don't know, but that would be the first time for me. So what can I, you know, what can I glean from this that would help me out?
Yeah, well, there's a lot that we can learn from that. Let's finish going through the results of your report. So other than you being very flexible and sociable and relatively independent, the data also shows that you're pretty driving. You're relentless, you're intense, and that means that you have you like that opportunity to work at a faster pace than the average person, and you respond positively to some pressure, right? You like that challenge. You like mobility. You like having variety. The data also suggests that you're pretty casual with rules. You'll follow them, but you're freewheeling, you're uninhibited. And again, you're proactive, you're people-oriented. So I'd be curious, the managers where there was maybe some friction, were there differences in how they behave? Like, did they like having a lot of rules, or were they more reserved and analytical?
Probably yes and yes. I'm going to have to think of a specific example.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could go back to very early in my career, like pre Foursquare, it was definitely about imposing rules, but also like having a one-on-one and them giving me a speech. And this happened at Foursquare too. I don't hate them for it, but it's like I don't like when people get on their soapbox and give long speeches, even though that's what I do every week on the show. But like in a one-on-one,
but
I feel like I don't
know.
I need to have a little bit of a back and forth.
Yeah.
About what's happening. I don't need a speech about, I don't need a long speech about, you know, how we're going to do, how the meeting structures are going to take place. I don't know. It's, I feel like there's a lot of cases where I interpret what they're saying to me as condescending. And I don't know if they mean it that way, but sometimes I get out of some of those meetings. And I'm not talking about anyone in particular, but it happens a lot where I'm like, ugh, that just felt so condescending. I'm not happy.
Mm. Yeah, well, if somebody is being condescending, I don't think anybody would be happy with that.
Yeah, but it just, I feel like it affects me more. I don't know. Yeah. It can't be the case. I don't know. I feel like I pick up on that more, and it affects me in a very negative way.
Yeah, well, because you are somebody who likes to do work with and through other people, and you need that social interaction with someone, and you're somebody who needs to probably speak to think, right? And some of these other managers were, it sounds like, berating you for that, but their
style is different. I think aloud a lot, and I do this on the show sometimes, and I say things sometimes that aren't a fully formed thought. So if someone's going to jump on me and tell me how wrong I am, it's like, I'm getting to it. I'm just trying to find all of the, not all the wrong answers, but all the like potential
possible answers.
Before I make a decision.
Yeah, and that's because you're innovative. You want to think through all the different possibilities, right? Versus just like narrowing straight on an answer. Where, Miriam, if we look at your profile.
Yeah, let's look at Miriam's. So Miriam and I, we've done a few projects before.
Yeah.
They've gone very well.
Yeah.
I love working with Miriam. So why do you think we get along? But also, like, let's go into Miriam.
Yeah, so Miriam, your results kind of showed us that you are somebody who takes a little bit more time to connect, right? You are somebody who is moderately patient, stable, and that comes probably from your need of wanting that long-term affiliation. And maybe that's why you came back to Foursquare after being at Google.
Although I should say, I have that long-term affiliation with Foursquare as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Foursquare is kind of a special place where we really feel a connection to it.
Yeah, it's
Regardless of what even though I think we got into it for different reasons than what we're doing here now. So we kind of feel... feel back to the old days. I do like to think of myself as that risk taker, but then I look back and I'm like, I could have gotten out a little earlier, you know. But there was always something keeping me here.
Yeah. And that's where we have to always look at context too, right?
Yeah.
And Miriam, the data also suggests that you are quite collaborative. You are accepting of company policies, you're accommodating, cooperative, and that comes from needs of reassurance, encouragement. You probably really enjoy having harmony in the workplace.
Yes.
And you're somebody who's, you know, we talked about how Max is somebody who is very proactive. And I would say the data suggests that you're somebody who's more responsive, meaning that while Max really enjoys variety in his work, you kind of enjoy that consistency of some repetitive work, and you're tolerant of other people and cooperation with folks to get an end goal accomplished. The data also shows that, you know, again, that you're reserved, you're very persuasive and analytical. And while you are people-oriented, you're a little bit more matter-of-fact. And while you're...
Wait, what does that mean?
So she, you know, Miriam will probably tell you what she's really thinking, and isn't going to bounce around, and especially if there's a big thing that needs to be accomplished, she can be either task or people-oriented, where Max, you're a lot more people-oriented. So you might think for a while before you tell somebody that something's wrong or not necessarily going the way you want them to go, where Miriam is maybe going to be a lot more straightforward. Is that true?
What do you think of that? Yeah.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
It's true for me. I'm very extra cautious on that side.
Yeah. The data suggests that Miriam is also somebody who's very precise. You're serious and you're informal. You're diligent and tolerant of uncertainty. And that comes from, you know, the need of wanting to understand rules and regulations and having some of that freedom from rigid structure. You need to have that specific knowledge of a job and but still have that freedom of expression.
So, I have a few questions. That brings up like a few questions about this test in general, and I don't
assessment,
know if you have any clues. It's going to be very difficult for me to get this right.
That's fine.
This is assessment. Part of my not following the rules. unless you have any questions about yours, then we can, but I do want to ask, like, what do you think is the typical, well, you're probably going to tell me there is no typical engineer, but are there any patterns that you find a lot in software engineers, machine learning engineers, or like as opposed to someone in sales, say, or someone in HR?
Yeah. So let's take somebody in sales, right? We would probably expect them to have that really high desire to get work done with and through other people, that measure of extroversion, right? And we're also probably looking for somebody who has that flexibility, that drive, not having a high drive to conform to rules and structure, whereas engineers probably have a little bit more of a higher drive to conform to rules and structure because you have to correct each other's codes and document code in certain ways to make sure that there's not bugs.
That's the part I'm not good at. Is that what that showed up, didn't it?
Well, the data shows that you are somebody who has a fairly high drive when it comes to decision making, that you're really objective.
Okay.
And you like collecting data and facts. Where someone like me, I'm a lot more subjective, right? I kind of rely, I look at shades of gray. You kind of look at black and white. I kind of operate on my intuition a little bit more. And you're like, if this doesn't make, you love innovation and idea, but if it's not logical and if it doesn't make sense, you're like, nix. Where I'm like, well, wait, what else is possible? And that's kind of what shows up in salespeople, right? Because they want to understand what's a client's problem and they want to explore different solutions where... what I've also found with engineers and working with engineers when it comes to that drive to do work with and through other people, it's not as high. It's usually a lot lower. And they might need, if we're brainstorming and talking about ideas, they probably want 24 hours to think through a problem or a solution and then come back the next day.
Yeah. It's interesting. So I have a, my work style on coding is actually a lot different than what most programmers, I think, would suggest, which is a lot of people suggest you design it first, then you code. I actually like to jump in, write some code, and then watch it not work, and then understand, oh, why did that get too complicated? Why did it not work? Okay, now let me redesign it. And so I don't know if that is that something that makes sense, but it's actually something I haven't really brought up because it at work, because it's kind of embarrassingly against the common like conception of what you're supposed to do. But
but that's where innovation comes from. Yeah. That goes back to like that diversity in thinking styles, right? So if we had a team of engineers that were all like you, we'd be in trouble in terms of getting a product shipped.
Yeah.
But like, it's probably one of the reasons the two of you have such a great working relationship and style, because while you're wanting to go out there and do different things, Miriam's going to like bring you back and be like, okay, what's the overall goal?
Yeah.
Right?
We do have to write a design doc eventually.
Yeah. You know who I think would be interesting to take this test? Dennis Crowley.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to do one of these with him.
Yeah. I wonder, well, I feel like he might need that for, because, you know, he's starting Foursquare Labs, and I'm hoping to interview the people who are working with him on those special projects in a few months when they come out with something. But I feel like there's a certain type of person who is good for that kind of work, like Marsbot, like what I did. And so that could be an interesting discussion at some point.
Yeah, and we'll get into that later on too. We can look at some of the business strategies in the software tool that I have and say, okay, how do we look at both of your profiles? We can add mine too to get a little bit more diversity and say, would we be the right people for something at Foursquare Labs?
Right.
Yeah.
Or just look at the people who are currently working at Foursquare Labs and you know, give them assessments and see if they match up with what we expect, which I would expect it to be someone who's okay with uncertainty. I'd expect it to be, you know, someone who's less rule-oriented.
But maybe it would show that there's something missing from the team, too.
That is possible.
They're hiring more people, and that could be very useful.
Yeah. And that's actually what we recommend when an organization buys the predictive index software, is that we recommend that every single person within the organization takes this assessment. So you have the analytics and that objective data on your people. And then this is one of the few assessments that can be put into an EEOC compliant process, so you can utilize it for hiring.
What is that?
Oh, EEOC. Yeah. So that's Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
Oh, okay.
So that basically means, like, if you're going to administer this assessment, for an engineer, you can't give it to some candidates before they interview and then other candidates only when they become a finalist candidate. You have to treat all candidates in a fair way and in an equal way. So let's think about Foursquare Labs and what you were talking about, Marsbot, and if you wanted to see that be taken to the next level.
Right.
What are some of these things? The areas that we're going to look at are innovation and agility, teamwork and employee experience, process and precision, results and discipline.
There are four different quadrants.
Yeah, four different quadrants. And in those are some business activities that need to happen. So why don't you and Miriam tell me which things you think need to take place on a team that's working on taking Marsbot to the next level?
Well, it would be
developing new products for sure.
Sure.
Okay.
And, well, implementing change, but it's always of course it's a change thing. And it's got to be agile and you got to take actions. I don't know. I like all of them except for,
you know,
grow rapidly.
Yeah,
because we know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like grow rapidly is the last thing. Like for this podcast, for example, I'm working on kind of building the audience slowly and building up my library of shows, but I don't need it to grow rapidly right now.
Yeah, and Foursquare Labs isn't trying to grow rapidly.
Right. So if we had to deprioritize one, I would say deprioritize that one.
Okay, so we're going to get rid of growing rapidly.
Yeah.
Okay, what about under teamwork and employee experience?
Increasing team cohesion, I'm just reading them. I'm not saying which ones.
Definitely empowering employees.
Empowering employees.
No, it's got to be the whole, like, hey, you want to do something crazy, you go do it.
Okay.
Type of situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then increasing employee loyalty, too.
Is that important for this?
I could see that. Okay. I don't know if it would be.
I feel like that's part of the goal of Foursquare Labs, to give people an outlet to work on products.
Yeah.
Okay. Consumer products, not just.
Okay.
B2B
okay.
Stuff.
Okay.
What about process and precision then?
Definitely not enforcing standards and rules, because that's about.
It's like the opposite.
Yeah. It's definitely not about increasing accountability or increasing predictability. or I don't think there's any of this.
Okay.
So let's look. Process.
And what about results and discipline?
Delivering results.
Yeah. You've got to make a good product for that, and
improving competitive position. Kind of.
Yeah, I would put that in because I feel like you need to have, you need to actually build, like, the best product of its type.
Yeah.
And it has to be, someone has to be like, wow, no one else is doing this.
Yeah.
You can't just build a second rate. A project that some other company already did.
Okay.
So,
great.
Yeah.
So if we look at these results, right, against the four quadrants, and we map your behavioral assessment and Merriam's behavioral assessment, we find that, okay, Max, you're going to be leading and the loudest voice when it comes to innovation and agility, and it's a good thing Merriam's on the team because she's going to help with the teamwork and employee experience. But if it's just the two of you, we're in trouble because just as important as teamwork and employee experiences, so is results and discipline. And neither one of you are very strong when it comes to results and discipline.
So you need to hire a product manager.
And how are you going to find that best product manager? Because there could be a product manager that's like you. Yeah. And this is why assessing everyone at Foursquare would be so important, because then you can go and look at the internal candidates that are product managers that have that rules and discipline.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Marissa, who I interviewed on episode, I should get this right, because I want to, I think it's episode 12.
Yeah.
She was a product manager on MarsBot. And I just wanted to point that out. So localmaxradio.com/12. I'm just mentioning it all.
So yeah, this is basically how human results brings.
And I kind of think she brought some of that in there too.
Yeah.
I think if you listen to that episode, you'll see. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I haven't listened to that one. Now I'm really curious.
Yeah.
But that's essentially how human results brings talent optimization to life to match that people strategy to business strategy. Because you can have a business strategy, but in the end, it's people that need to execute, and you have to have the right people in the right seat to get those business results.
Yeah.
And you can't sit there guessing as to what teams, and you can't just do a mishmash and be like, I think these people will work together well, right?
Yeah.
And this is where you can have objective data.
I feel like it's for many companies, it's just names on a spreadsheet, names and like title. Like this is, Mr. B, and he is a front end engineer, and this is, and you get pigeonholed, and there's no, this dimension is just completely.
Yeah, it's easy to think that because someone has the same role that you can swap them out and you'll get the same results.
Yes,
right.
Which doesn't happen, which is the same exact thing for when you look at the front end, right, hiring someone. So these tools can be utilized for the entire employee life cycle, from hiring someone to like the manager knowing how to inspire the team member, or when it's time to like do a reorg, or it's time for somebody to leave the organization because they like a lot of flexibility, but the company's gotten so big and they need somebody who can follow rules and procedures and not necessarily have all that variety and be a little bit more focused. All this data can really be helpful.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to looking into my results more deeply.
Yeah.
That's the part we can't do on the air because I
want
to take it home and read
it. Yeah, it's hard for me to show you the patterns and the graphs.
So there are definitely some things that I think are absolutely right in here, and I'm glad that we're going to get some insights on that, and I'm sure I'll have more questions for you later on. And thank you for sharing that with us today. Merriam, thank you for allowing your results to be put out into the public. People love hearing that stuff. Do you have any closing thoughts on these?
With your new job at Luminary, and you were talking about the differences that you've had with managers.
Yeah.
The other thing that I can provide you is this strategy guide. So your manager knows how you like to interact in the workplace, how you take action, and how you deal with risk and decision making. So that they, because managers, the great managers think about managing their people like a game of chess, not checkers, right? Checkers. We move the pieces on one way, all the shapes are uniform. Chess, right, all the different pieces are different shapes, they move in different ways, so the really great managers can customize their management and leadership style based on the individual.
Okay, well that's something that I think managers should be doing.
Yeah.
all right. Where can people find more about this assessment, and where can they find more about you? Any links or information you want to give, and give us your final closing thoughts.
Yeah. Well, they can go to humanresults.com and write to me at info@humanresults.com, and I'm happy to send them a link to this assessment and walk them through it. Happy to do that for your listeners.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Swathi, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So a couple of things that we have coming up. Next week, we're going to hear the rest of the conversation that I had with Aaron last week, and this is about the coming of the 5G cellular networks and what implications that might have. Also, what is 5G? I didn't know. This is a little bit outside our area of expertise, but we researched a little bit. We looked into consumer electronics as well and how it fits into everything else we've been talking about here. So that will prove to be a fascinating discussion. That's next week. And then hopefully the following week, I have author David Auerbach, who wrote a book called Bitwise. It's written from an engineer's perspective, which I love. And it's about how engineers or how algorithms shape our understanding of the world. And I read the book, and a lot of what he talked about touched on things that we talked about on the show, particularly projects worked on at Foursquare. So I'm going to kind of get to the bottom of some of that. So now that I've had a few days to look at these results and listen to the recording that you just heard, I think that they were mostly right. There were probably a few checkboxes that I would change if I took the assessment again. I mean, after all, I think you're in a really weird head state when you're changing jobs. So I think I think that could explain why a lot of the in the few areas where the personality assessment was off, I think that that could be explained by that. But the ones that were definitely spot on, though, which were most of them, was the need for freedom and flexibility. That's a big one for me, and freedom of expression, basically, to put my soul into the products I build, which is, you know, something that comes out on this podcast and something that comes out in the products I build, software as well. And I think that fits me correctly. Risk-taking, also very true. I can give some specific examples. I mean, wow, I can do a whole show about the risks that I've taken, but I can also think of people who have taken bigger ones. I'm not saying that like I gamble it all, but yeah, it tends to be true. And the other one is having trouble with rigidity, rules, and process, which is really, it is really important on an engineering team. So hopefully I have some teammates who can help me with that. And it's why I kind of sort of fall away from, you know, fall into places like Luminary and fall away from companies that get too big. And that's definitely true as well. I think that the results maybe overstated the case on extroversion because I can go several days working alone. I mean, I just, you know, just think putting together these podcast episodes, a lot of editing alone. So I guess, hey, I mean, I'm not entirely alone. I have voices here, but no, I'm pretty much alone. So I guess I'll go back to Swathi and ask about all that because I do tend to, you know, lock myself up for periods at a time and then come out with, voila, behold my creation. But they're, you know, I'm always spinning all of these things in like a positive way because they're my traits, but there are negative things associated with them as well. And then the part about gathering data before moving on is kind of interesting because if you listen to this program, you know that it might be true. I am data-driven, but on the other hand, I'm also tend to be very skeptical of a lot of data analysis. And these are places where I think people read into data to make or justify whatever decision they wanted to make in the first place. That happens a lot. Also, like, you know, a confirmation bias. And in that case, I just say, don't even bother. Just make your decision. You know, whenever someone asks me to do a data analysis, I always ask, well, how would your decision of what you're going to do change based on the results that I come to you with? And like a majority of the time, they say, well, I'd probably stay the course. So fine. Stay the course then. You know, don't even bother with me. I'll hold myself to that same standard as well. So, you know, if I want to do an analysis or ask someone else to do an analysis, if I've already made up my mind, I made up my mind and it's not worth it. So I don't know if that's more from personality. I think that's actually a lot more from experience when kind of seeing over and over again how there's a lot of wasted efforts in that field, particularly in the data science, you know, analyst field, I think, you know, where you really want to be, there's a million things you can look at in the data, and you really want to be looking at something that is going to change people's decisions and not something that, I mean, sometimes it's good to have an idea of what's going on, even if it's not going to change your decisions, but for the most part, you really want to be aware of whether it's changing someone's decision or not. So that's kind of a little caveat on that. All right, so that was a lot of fun. Remember to subscribe to Local Maximum. Go to localmaxradio.com/53. Read Swathi's full bio and link and give us a 5-star review. I'm also experimenting with this new Patreon-like system called Bitbacker. It's a Bitcoin-based system, and I got it through, I heard about it through one of my show guests, Naomi Brockwell. It's bitbacker.io. And my page is bitbacker.io/user/MaxSklar. If you're feeling ambitious, give it a try. See if you can send me a message on there. Even if like 10 cents worth of Bitcoin, I get really, really excited that someone actually bothered to do it because it's not that easy. But I think this stuff will be really big one day. So check it out. I'll link it on the show notes page and let me know how it goes. Have a great week, everyone. That's the show. Remember to check out the website at localmaxradio.com if you want to contact me, the host, or ask a question that I can answer on the show. Send an email to localmaxradio@gmail.com. This show is available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and more. If you want to keep up, remember to subscribe to The Local Maximum on one of these platforms and to follow my Twitter account @MaxSklar. Have a great week.
Feel the power.
And she said, I don't care what you say, you're gonna see me shine someday. And they said, dream of Savannah, dream of Savannah, a million trillion wishes and it won't make it all come true.
I got to go in a minute because I've got to get my annual review. Did you know that? I'm getting an annual review.
You
on my
are
last day.
On your last day?
I can. This is an interesting situation. My manager asked me if I wanted an annual review. I was like, sure.
Are you sure it's not an exit interview?
No, I've done a ton of those already.
Wow.
It's an annual review. And I'm like, well, why not? Why not actually see what they wrote? Because they already wrote stuff.
I mean, it's useful to get feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will set you up for success. And then you can take these results and be like, oh, that makes sense. That's what this assessment already showed.
All right. So thanks a lot.